You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
Christy Miller is a scientist with the Department of Fisheries and Oceans. She recently published a paper in Science, one of the world's top science journals. The study speculates that a virus is causing wild salmon to die before they can make it back to their spawning grounds. But when journalists asked if they could interview Christy Miller about her study, they found out that the federal government had told her not to talk to them. Gary Corbett is president of the Professional Institute of the Public Service of Canada. That's the union that represents government scientists. And he joins me on the line today from Ottawa. Hello, Gary.
Hi, Jane. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Now, how did Christy Miller find out that she couldn't talk to the media?
She was called by her managers, senior managers, and basically said that they told her not to speak to media.
So did that come from the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, or did it come from somewhere else in the government?
Well, our understanding is that it came from higher up, but the actual discussion or the actual commandment, if that's what you want to use, came from her senior managers in the department.
Okay. So what reason did they give her?
Well, they cited the commission that's going on out there around the salmon. There's a high level commission looking at the issue, the salmon issue in British Columbia.
So this is I believe it's Justice Bruce Cohen who's doing a commission of inquiry into the salmon stock. So they said, why couldn't she talk about it because of that commission?
Right, their excuse or their reasoning was that this is a quasi-legal or /legal inquiry, and that perhaps nothing should be said from her because she's going to have to testify. It's a bit strange from our point of view. I mean, if you publish a paper if you're allowed to publish a paper, you would think that you would be at least able to talk about those results. It's already public, as a matter of fact, and it kind of behooves one to believe that, well, if you're smart enough to publish a paper, maybe you'd be smart enough to know what questions you can or cannot answer.
Now, I understand that they also said there was a release I read from the government saying that, well, it was in Science magazine, so they weren't really withholding any information. What's your take on that?
Well, they weren't withholding information, but they're withholding, I suppose, testimony. I don't know. It sounds like there's a contradicting messages there. We're not withholding information, but don't speak to the media. You know, and just to go on a little further, it's not like it's more than about Ms. Miller. There, this is seems to have been a trend in the way scientists have been muzzled over the last number of years by the government, what they can and cannot report on, organized media lines from departments, from various departments, Environment Canada, for example, where scientists have to go through the communication section, and then the communication section ends up talking to the media rather than the scientist.
What are the larger implications of a situation where scientists are controlled by the government, muzzled, as you say, in this way?
Well, I think when you look at how science, especially public science, that is conducted by professionals who are delivering public good, quality of life, quality of water, those types of issues, I think it's important to realize that they are done with taxpayer dollars, and that taxpayers need to be informed about the wise use of their dollars and how it's used. So, I don't think there needs to be a better way to communicate science. I mean, we're not the only ones on record, and there's Canadian science writers as well have said, well, let these people talk to their research in the public.
Well, I went and took a look at the abstract of the study in Science, and it didn't mean a lot to me. And I guess there is a huge difference between letting a scientist talk and try and explain it in more layperson's terms than just kind of saying, well, it's out there, you can go look at it.
Well, there's a literacy element to it as well, but remember, scientists are have their own language, and it can be very complex. It's almost like looking at a mathematical equation sometimes, unless you're a trained mathematician, you know. Scientists do understand how to talk to the regular Joe public, so that it becomes real in their terms, you know. And like I said, they're highly intelligent, highly trained people, and they can basically field questions and without creating controversy.
How widespread is this approach by the federal government?
Well, as I said, it's once upon a time, the distant past, not too distant past, scientists seem to have had more freedom to talk about their work. Where they get into how this impacts policy is the question for the politicians. I mean, all science should basically support good policy decisions. More recently, the trend has been, like I said, over the last 5 to 10 years, has been to keep the science discussion clampered down and use that information to the policy development end, where then you hear politicians making policy decisions based on that science.
I understand there's also a fair amount of private money involved in funding research. What are your concerns with that?
Well, over the last number of years, science is expensive, and departments internally have gone the route of using what's relevant is what somebody will pay for. That's what departments will think. So they'll use their researchers to work with private sector companies who will fund some of the research. However, a lot of it is, may or may not be defined as public good science. There is a bit of a contradiction, and perhaps when a corporation funds a piece of research, if they don't get the results that they like, or they would expect, that's in the interest of making money or whatever, you can see there might be some friction there. It causes the problems.
Now, of course, in other news this week, that the federal government has announced that it's going to be making major cuts in Environment Canada. What's your reaction to that news?
We were shocked that these cuts were announced this week. As you know, about 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, we had announcements that 50 term employees in Environment Canada were basically cut. So that's their scientists and science support. Now this week we hear 700 are receiving their affected letter, and at the end of the process there will probably be 300 who will be surplused. Now all of this is in advance of what's coming in the new budget next year under a strategic operating review, which means every science-based department, and every department as a matter of fact, has to find another 5 or 10% cut. It's the erosion of the government's ability to conduct and do science. And remember, Environment Canada does things like quality of air, quality of water, extreme weather conditions. These are public good issues. To go directly to Canadians' way of life.
What does this say about the federal government's attitude towards science and scientists?
Well, I think that, it's hard to see how they could argue that they're keeping this as a priority. We've seen an erosion over the last number of years. It seems to be more all about if it doesn't pay for itself or then we really don't want to do it. And when I say pay, I mean short-term turnaround, show me the money, rather than long-term viewpoint in terms of benefits. What's happening to the quality of air over 20 years, what's happening to the quality of water. It's really a corporate way of looking at things rather than a holistic, public good idea.
I mean, some people go so far as to say that the Harper government is anti-science. Would you say that?
I wouldn't say it's anti-science. It certainly is not pro-science. On the face of it, looking at some of the decisions that were made by the Harper government, for example, Arthur Carter used to be the National Science Advisor. They don't have one anymore. That seems contrary to a lot of other countries. So we certainly would like the Harper government to be more pro-science and support for scientists.
Well, thanks very much, Gary, for talking to me this morning.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Gary Corbett. He's president of the Professional Institute of the Public Service of Canada, and that's the union that represents government scientists.